Thank you. That was beautiful. I think that all of us have a particular idea about love. Basically, we are interested in a certain quality of love. Now, we understand that this is personal, that each one of us decides for himself what is important and what has meaning. We want to feel comfortable with the decisions we have made. We want to be compatible with the lifestyle we have chosen. You might say that we are trying to discover a reason for living. Now, intuitively, we feel there must be more to life than getting up in the morning, doing whatever it is we do during the day, coming home at night, only to get up again and do it all over again the next morning. Life must be more than this, but what is it, and how will we know? Now, in our time of contemplating life, we look around us and we notice how others are living their lives. We consider what it is that they do for a living. What makes them happy? Do they have hobbies? Or perhaps they are involved in their church? Are their talents creative or athletic? What have their accomplishments been that have brought them satisfaction? Basically, we just want to know if others have discovered their reason for living. And then we begin to judge. During our activity of noticing, we wonder sometimes why it is important for some people to keep on living. According to our own judgment, there seems to be no valid reason for them to be on this earth plane. They don't seem to be contributing to either themselves or to their fellow men. In our humble opinion, they are not contributing to society in any way. Surely there are requirements for a reason for living. We notice the individual in a nursing home, not quite aware of his surroundings. We are aware of those suffering from mental disorders or addictions, and we question the quality of life. What is their reason for living? And then we notice that there are those who seem to be quite satisfied with that ritual of getting up in the morning, doing what they do during the day, coming home at night, only to do it all over again. And of course, we are trying to discover a reason for living, one that takes us beyond what we consider to be mindless activity. And then sometimes we judge according to a particular lifestyle. And if it should happen that we might discover someone, in our humble opinion, who seems to be accomplishing and contributing in a meaningful way, once again we judge. Only this time the judgment is directed at us. When we compare ourselves to someone else's accomplishments, their achievements, we discover that we might consider to be our own flaws, our inadequacies. When we think about it, we might find us lacking. And we remember all of those things that we have left undone. When we wish to discover our reason for being, it is best not to judge us according to someone else's journey. To judge us as being either greater or lesser than another, it's really not very helpful in our desire to find meaning and purpose to our existence. Now, the book of Ecclesiastes tells us that there is a reason for everything, and that includes us. Each of us has a place in God's plan for creation, and it has nothing to do with what someone else does with their time on this earth plane. What another does really is of no concern to us, and I think we all know the appropriate question is, what is that to thee? Now, when we consider a reason for living, we tend to think in terms of what it is we are demonstrating, what it is that we are bringing forth that can be counted in a tangible way. Perhaps now would be a good time to remind us that we can only bring forth in demonstration what it is that we have attained in consciousness. Unless we have attained a sense of something in consciousness, we will not be able to bring it forth. For example, an artist expresses his art to the degree of his acquired artistic consciousness. An artist who expresses simply from the level of technique, he will never be known as a master. And he will continue to demonstrate from the level of technique until he has somehow developed his artistic consciousness. We cannot demonstrate beyond where we are in awareness. No life experience can ever be greater than the attained consciousness of the individual. So when we wish to discover our reason for living, we need look no further than ourselves. What have we accepted in consciousness to be true of life? This is important. We cannot demonstrate beyond what we accept to be true of life. So if we want to have a finer quality of life, then we must get busy and change our attitude about what that might be. We must somehow develop spiritual consciousness. Now, to get beyond the mundane, we must lift our eyes, our attention, above the mundane. Each day brings us but 24 hours. What will we do with them? We may be satisfied with the repetition of getting up in the morning, doing what we do, coming home, routine. Or we may decide to lift our eyes on high and discover the activity that reveals the true reason for living. It all goes back to what it is we are demonstrating. Do not be satisfied to simply demonstrate the form, but rather desire to bring forth the substance. Now, the substance of something, it is what supports and gives value to it. When we lift our eyes above the mundane, we discover the one substance to be the original quality and composition of spirit. This is the definition of substance, which is given to us by our founders in that little book, Divine Science, its principle and practice. We are told that the spiritual substance permeates, underlies, and supports visible creation. And when we lift our eyes on high, we see the spiritual idea behind the outer manifestation. Now, in considering this life that we would like to live, health and supply are important aspects of that life. We look to the body and we want it to demonstrate health. And so we think about health and how it might appear in our body. First of all, we may concentrate on the heart. The heart definitely is important to the body's health. But then we discover, so are the lungs, the liver, the stomach, and the pancreas. We could spend a great deal of time thinking about the various aspects that make up a healthy body. But when we do our work with the spiritual idea, we consider the substance of the body and not its various parts. The substance of the body is spirit. It is life. God is the life of the body. There is only one life. So no longer do we need to contemplate the life of the heart, the life of the liver, the life of the lungs. We rather acknowledge the life of the body to be spiritual substance, and that is of God. Think about it. When life leaves the body, all of those organs shut down. It is spiritual consciousness which allows us to view the body as a whole and not as its parts. And being of God, what will be seen is wholeness. To have the idea of wholeness established in our consciousness is what allows the demonstration to bear witness to the true state of being, which is whole and complete. We are told that God created a finished kingdom. There's nothing to be added to it or to be taken away. We might do the same thing with the concept of supply. When we attach idea to the form and then we call it supply, we are very busy contemplating what might appear to us in this way. Exactly what will be the demonstration? How will it appear? Will it manifest as more money in the paycheck, or perhaps an acquisition of real estate or fine art? Surely there will be a new car in the driveway. But when we lift our eyes on high and behold the spiritual idea that supports supply, we see only God and God in action. When we have the substance of something, we need not concern ourselves with the form that it will take. To compare ourselves with the artist, we might say that we are working with technique when we look for a reason for living. When we look to substance for answers, we develop spiritual consciousness. And it is that consciousness that we allow the master to do the work. You see, I don't think it's really so much a matter of trying to discover a reason for being, but rather to develop the consciousness that allows us to live that life that God meant us to live. God knows the reason that we were sent forth. God breathed life into us and made us a living soul. Spiritual consciousness made us a quickened soul. Each one of us actually represents God revealing itself on earth. You might say that each one of us has a spiritual destiny. And when we live from the awareness of our spirits or being, we listen for the guidance and for the direction that fulfills God's plan and not ours. When we view life from the spiritual idea, we no longer judge us or our fellow man. We no longer praise ourselves for our accomplishments, but nor do we weary ourselves over all those things that we have left undone. Joel Goldsmith addresses this somewhat when he says, "The moment we allow God into our experience as a partner, acknowledge God as the source of whatever good there is in our life, acknowledge God as intelligence, wisdom, direction, knowledge, whatever it be that we claim of good. When we do those things, our energies not only cannot be misdirected, but we will be directed to some type of fulfilling activity that gives us a real good reason for living and purpose for being on this earth plane. While it is true that there is but one life, there are aspects of being. And we call these aspects of being selves. The one that is a sense of identification with form, and the other that has identification with spirit. Now, I mentioned this in my call to worship. Mystics, various authors, refer to these selves as the higher and the lower idea of self. The Aquarian Gospel addresses it in this way. He who knows his lower self knows the illusions of the world, knows of those things that pass away. He who knows of the higher self knows God, knows the things that will not pass away. And then they refer to that passage in the Bible that speaks of the two in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken, and the other one left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. The two in the field, the two at the mill, are the two ideas of self. The question for us is, which of the two are we claiming to be? Which idea are we taking, and which one are we leaving? Are we leaving the idea of the limited self, taking the idea of the Christ self? Are we leaving the I can't self and taking the Christ self as the only identity? We really cannot serve two masters, and we cannot support two senses of identification. Now, it is important to notice that whichever one we take, the other is left. We don't carry both around with us, claiming identity. So for us, it is decision time. What life are we living? What idea of self have we attained in consciousness? This is important because the identity that we accept, we will live, and that is the one that will go before us in a way that is compatible with the intent that sent it forth, be it flesh or be it spirit. We cannot demonstrate beyond where we are in consciousness. As that artist unfolds to artistic consciousness, he becomes dissatisfied with his current work. What used to satisfy him, well, it no longer meets the needs of his soul. Perhaps in a moment of contemplation, he might find himself in the art gallery, studying the works of the masters, not to go home and imitate their art, but rather to somehow discover what touched their soul, what allowed them to express from a deeper place of consciousness. While sitting in the gallery, if he becomes still and quiet enough, the art will permeate his consciousness. He feels the art, and in feeling the art, he knows the artist, the one that sent forth the work of a master. The artist now realizes that there is in him his art waiting to come forth and be expressed. So he goes home and he picks up that brush. But this time it is as if he has never done this before. He is now a new self, and that will be the demonstration. And so it is with us. When we develop a degree of spiritual consciousness, we are no longer satisfied with our present concept of life. What used to satisfy us? Well, it no longer meets the needs of our soul. And in a moment of contemplation. We may find this in meditation. And if we become still and receptive enough, we know us to be life itself. And we are one with the Creator, the one that sent forth His creation to express the abundant life. We realize that there is in us life that seeks to express. And so we begin to live life in a different way, in a way that we have never done before. We now know us as the spiritual self. And what comes from this idea of being will be the demonstration. It is the truth of us. Contained in this being is a sense of peace. Peace that restores the mind and adjusts the mental attitude. It makes no difference what the situation is, whatever you're going through, how bad it might appear to be. There is a peace that dissolves our wrong thinking that allowed us to give value to it. Now you see, it is not a matter of producing a certain thought through conscious thinking. We did that when we worked with technique. Our work now is to demonstrate a principle through perception and understanding. What I have described today is the work of the two selves, the one in flesh, the other in spirit. We must pick one and leave the other. The time will come when each of us desires to know our reason for living. Why am I here? In our time of contemplation, we receive the answer. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into this world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And that is all we need to know. Let us take a few moments, open our hearts, and feel His presence. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? As we become still, we relax our bodies, we release our thoughts. In the silence, we listen. We find us in a place of serenity. We sense and we feel God's presence. The still small voice gives the assurance, "You are my child. I will never leave you. I sent you into this world as my expression and to do my work. I sent you into this world to be of service to your fellow man, to calm the troubled soul and bring comfort to those in need. I sent you forth to tell others of truth, so that you may know yourselves as I know you, a spiritual being. This is eternal life. It is my life. There is no place where God ends and man begins. Let us take a moment and just rest in this awareness. That which is within me, it is greater than any problem I will ever face. It is greater than any decision I will be asked to make. The greater self is wise and it knows what to do. So let us go often to this place of peace and wait on the Lord. He will send the Comforter, and that is our sufficiency. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge Him so that He may lift your consciousness and give you His peace. Amen.